These guys really know how to stretch a dumb idea into a fun, engaging, and hilarious series. Listening to the hosts as they watch and review the same movie every week for 52 weeks and descend into hopelessness and desperation is wildly entertaining. Best enjoyed from the second-hand safety of never having watched the film at all. There's more. The worst idea of all time podcast is high concept, hilarious, and occasionally profound. A must listen. Insanity shouldn't be this funny, but it is. 5 stars. Thank you, LBW2112. Much appreciated.
What a lovely review.
It's so grandiose.
Yeah. Felt like I was in an infomercial listening to you read that.
That was my voice. That was my commercial voice.
You got a good commercial voice.
Thanks.
We should try and get voice work off the back of this.
I got voice work the other day for a drink driving campaign.
What are you going to say? Can you talk about this legally?
Yeah, I hope so. I haven't signed anything. So that's usually a good indication I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, you're bad to the bone. Hey, welcome along to the worst idea of all time.
The baddest idea of the worst bones of all time. We're so bad.
It's good to be here.
It's strange to be here. I almost threw up when I woke up, and then I got in the shower, and then I almost threw up again.
Timbeck got blackout drunk last night, and he is in a weird place.
It was real accidental, too. I didn't see it coming. I was just sipping on
lots of gin.
Gin and tonic.
Sipping
not gin
on
and juice.
Gin and tonic, yeah.
Like I don't remember going to bed or anything. It was just in my house. It was real weird.
Well, I tell you what, you were a joy to watch the film with because you had a different read on it from anything I've seen before.
It felt like a different one.
You fluctuated between wildly enjoying, cackling away at some of the gags, and just pure despondency at how lazy. You kept referring to how you were really taken aback by how lazy some of the writing was.
Yeah, man, big time.
And it seemed funny to me because it's like, dude, you know this now. But you were really affected by it.
That's the cool thing about having such a terrible memory. Things seem new that aren't new, you know.
That probably is a useful tool for watching this movie.
It's a good voyage.
Hell of a voyage.
When you're this hungover. I've been right on the verge of vomiting 3 times and it's barely noon. You know?
You're a class act, mate.
Sorry.
I don't think people tune in to listen to you go, oh, I've almost... Oh.
Here's the thing about the movie. It sucks. And people have been asking whether they should watch it, and the answer is no. And we've watched it now 42 times, and there's 10 left, and I don't want to do it anymore. I feel like Peter Dante must have felt, except we don't get paid, you know?
Peter Dante loves these movies.
He does.
These are his bread and butter, bro.
Nah.
I've watched a lot of Peter Dante on YouTube recently. I watched one. He's a lacrosse coach. Have I
he
told
is.
You that?
Yeah.
I watched one where he was talking about, he was getting interviewed by like some guy about coaching high school lacrosse.
Yeah, I've seen that interview too. I've seen that obscure YouTube interview with Grown Ups 2 co-star
Peter Dante
as well. Guy.
Yeah.
Because that's how we fill our days now. Just everything on the peripheral of this movie.
Peter Dante, if you are at work right now and you've got a spare 5 minutes, just look up Peter Dante and click on the hyperlinks, whatever comes up. He is an interesting dude. Yes.
Real fascinating. Isn't he? He's quite pro-marijuana law reform.
Real, real pro-marijuana. All he does is just retweet stuff about buds.
That's awesome.
And but yeah, there's been some controversy around him with he's using inappropriate words in public. Which
what do you mean?
It doesn't strike. It seems really out of character for Peter because
he's really well spoken.
He's a Buddhist stoner.
What kind of words are you talking about? Like the N word?
Yeah,
like
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, slurs.
Oh my goodness, Peter!
Peter,
come on, mate. Our mate Peter.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guy and I were toying around with the idea today of, probably shouldn't put it on the podcast, going to anyway, writing an entire script for Grown Ups 3.
You definitely shouldn't have put that on the podcast.
Why?
Now you're creating a sense, right now in this room, you're creating a sense of obligation between us.
I know, that's the beauty of it, Guy. It's like when we started doing the podcast, because we were talking about doing the podcast, and I said, cool, we'll do it tomorrow. And you were like, what? And I was like, yeah, if you don't, you know, jump in.
Front foot this thing. If you don't front foot this thing, you know, who knows where you'll be. You might not have watched Grown Ups 2 42 times.
Exactly.
And you're saying that this is a better place to be in.
What?
You're saying
you lost me.
Well, you're saying that by doing that, you've done a good thing for our lives, and that we now, we've front-footed it, and we have watched the movie 42 times.
Touche.
Sometimes these rash, snap decisions actually come back to bite you on the ass, Tim.
God, tell me about it. Tell me and my credit card all about it, Guy Montgomery, because neither of us feel very good right now.
You and your finances.
God, they're in pretty dire
straits. Let's talk about the movie.
Moment. Oh, yeah, okay. Grown Ups 2 is its name. It stars everyone you've never heard of or liked.
Everyone you've heard of.
What I was thinking about when we watched the movie today is Adam Sandler's a genius. And the reason for that is he's just assembled these representatives from different market segments. Little mascots.
Give examples.
Taylor Lautner, Teen Market, Dunn. The guy whose name we haven't found out, who's
Trunks.
One of the frat boys, who I named Trunks today. That's your YouTube market, so you've got your online quadrant. Kevin James for overweight people, Chris Rock for black people, Adam Sandler for sadomasochists. Selma Hayek for dudes who are like...
You think they've knowingly cast to a wide variety of markets.
But like solely...
Yeah.
It's not just a consideration, it's the movie.
That's the whole premise.
So they get these mascots of market quadrants, and then to fill in the oxygen between those atoms, they just insert so much product placement, you feel like maybe you zoned out and you are in a Kmart all of a sudden. Like, if I saw this at the cinemas and I was feeling as... whatever the opposite of lucid is, as I feel right now after my gin bender from last night, I might actually have a moment of thinking that I have wandered into a Kmart but don't remember driving in. And now I'm just like, what am I doing at this fucking Kmart? I thought I was going to a movie, but it's not a movie, bro. It's market quadrants, mascots, and product placement.
Wow, that was a delight to watch unravel.
You've been watching me unravel for the last 3 hours, brother.
This has been one of my most enjoyable screens of the movie because Tim, I cannot explain this to you enough, is just, he's all over the place. He's, your brain just was moving like in every direction and it would just stop really abruptly though. Like, yeah. It was moving slowly, but you'd stop one thought and you'd just start talking about something.
Are you talking about during the movie?
Yeah.
My ramblings. I was rambling about all kinds of things, eh?
Yeah.
Some of it good, some of it detestable. I really gravitated toward, I don't know, I was paying a lot of attention to Brayden today.
You like Brayden, though.
And to Peter Dante, because we actually stopped the movie mid-watch to watch a Peter Dante interview on YouTube, which seems kind of silly when you look back at it now.
It was a pretty funny thing to do.
You really wanted to see the clip, though, so we had to pause the movie.
Comes back to his hometown and me and Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal, cops.
He really likes Shaq. He said that him and Shaq were best. It was like new best friends within 5 minutes.
That's really intense.
And I wonder if we interviewed Shaquille O'Neal about that, whether or not he'd say the same thing. He's like, Peter was bringing a really high intensity to the friendship. It was actually quite unnerving.
The dude was stoned all the time. I've never seen such a wiry stoned dude before.
I think he might be stoned in that interview.
Yeah.
He's muscly, man.
He's too muscly.
He's always got his kit off. Have you seen Grandma's Boy?
Nah, I haven't. I heard it's real funny, though.
It's
like, legitimately.
It's really funny.
Is that Sandberg? Is he in that?
No. It's the teacher. I can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. He's the lead.
Oh, great.
And I can't remember the fucking point.
Okay. Doesn't need one, guy. That's all good.
That was really annoying. I was really enjoying that. I was just reminiscing about Grandma's Boy. Oh, Peter Dante in it.
Yeah.
He plays this real stone guy with a monkey, and he's like he's naked. It's so funny. And he makes the monkey drive a car because he's too stoned to drive.
That's cool. See, that's funny. Why can't there be more of that in the grown-ups too?
That's another thing you were craving today, Tim, is you're so hungover and stubborn and single-minded, you're watching the movie and you're becoming genuinely frustrated when gags played out as they have every week preceding this week. Like, you were hungover enough to expect different lines to come out of the actor's mouths.
Yeah. And I was disappointed when it didn't happen.
Not once.
And I got real surly and angry. Well, of course not once, because it doesn't make any fucking sense. My expectation was...
it's unrealistic.
Demonstrably flawed. Like, it's illogical. It's a recorded movie.
Well, is there anything that you remember enjoying during the movie today?
That was a weird thought to come to my head. Are there any aeroplanes in this movie? I don't think so, eh?
No. Do you like that?
I like that there are no aeroplanes in the film. I like that there's no aircraft in this motion picture.
Okay. Pretty obscure, but entirely valid.
How about you, Guy? Is there anything you really enjoyed about this?
Well, this is, I guess, these are shining lights, I guess. And mine was, I always find it hilarious, Paul Hudson, who's the squat aerobics teacher, he actually had a really strong performance today. In the squat aerobics gym.
You were doing the thing that you were casting dispersions on me for doing.
I know, but he had a really strong showing today. You know when he walks in the gym and he's like, welcome to Squat Aerobics Fitness 101. He's like, I wish they...
Yeah, I don't know why they called it that, but they
made me say, that's what they told me to say.
Yeah, that's what they told me to say. Fuck, I was tearing up. Yeah. I was crying with laughter at that line today.
But then I've always found his ridiculous fight scene, like his really over-choreographed fight scene, to be very funny. And today I noticed, because he did a really dope kick at the start and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then halfway through it, he does just a full-blown star jump.
Yeah,
like as an exit from one of his motions, he does a full-blown star jump. And I like to think he was just like thinking to himself, or he had a bet with his friend that he'll be able to do a star jump in the middle of a fight routine.
And he fucking did, too. He did. So I hope he got that money off Bruce.
It's quite an uplifting gesture as well, a star jump. It feels good. And they keep you fit.
Star jumps?
Yeah.
Are they jarring? Because people say that like jogging is bad for you, bad for your joints.
I can believe that.
I can believe that too. That's why everyone should swim. I'm a bad swimmer though, so I guess I won't.
Swimming is good for you. Tennis players' joints take a hammering.
Oh,
man.
Fuck, would they what?
They're like, think of how fast they're accelerating to, and then they're stopping on a dime.
Tennis players'
bodies are the hottest. When you're running, I think you put three times your body weight
on
every footstep. So fucking they're charging around, probably dropping five times their body weight on a joint, like just relentlessly for like 4 or 5 hours sometimes.
Oh man, that's too much.
Like Rafael Nadal has got the knees of a 75-year-old.
But he's still playing.
Those knees have lived, man. They've seen some things.
Would you get a knee replacement, bro, when you get old?
What do you mean, if I needed one?
Yeah.
If I could afford it, of course. It seems like an obscure question.
Like it's just a given that you would get it? Is that what you're inferring?
Well, like you're saying in a hypothetical situation, if my knee blew out when I was older and I needed a replacement, would I get the replacement?
Mm.
There's only one answer to that question, yes.
Because you could be in a wheelchair and you could be like that guy, the Vietnam vet in Forrest Gump, rolling around just being real bitter about everything. That's an alternative.
But they didn't have the same technology in the 90s. So it was probably less realistic for him, especially after Vietnam, it was probably less realistic for him to get.
Also unrealistic because his leg blew off, so I don't think a knee replacement would even work on
what
him.
What are you even talking about? Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a ride we're on. We are so far down the rabbit hole right now.
Yeah.
I feel like what's happening specifically in this podcast with you.
Yes.
You are as far down the rabbit hole as you've been.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
What does it feel like?
I need to pull out.
Like you're hungover enough that you're quite lucid, I think. What does it feel like?
I need to pull out. It's
what are you
terrifying.
Thinking about?
I don't know. Nothing and everything. We need to jump in the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour bus.
Okay.
And get me out of here, bro.
Okay.
Because the deafening sound of my own thoughts are a very scary thing to be left alone with.
All right. You are starting to freak me out. So all aboard the bus.
Roll up.
Roll up for the mystery tour.
Red.
Roll up. It's an inspiration. Roll up for the mystery tour. The Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour is coming to take you away. Coming to take you away.
Take you today.
Woo! Steve Buscemi was at the supermarket. going for a shop with his wife.
Mm.
Chris Rock mm-hmm. worked at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Buscemi has this weird thing he likes to do
mm-hmm.
where he walks up and down the condiments aisle
mm-hmm.
fingering the mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
Steve Buscemi loves to finger the mayonnaise. Yeah. He just walks down the supermarket. He takes out the first jar of mayonnaise, Best Foods, because yes. they paid a lot of money. He fingers the Best Foods mayonnaise.
Yeah.
He puts it back. He yeah. goes on to the next jar.
Love it.
And so on and so forth.
Love it.
Steve Buscemi has fingered over 73 jars of mayonnaise.
Oh, that's weird.
And Chris Rock walks around the corner. And what should Steve Buscemi be doing?
Is he?
But fingering his 75th jar of mayonnaise.
He's been caught creamy handed.
He's been caught creamy handed in the mayonnaise aisle with the mayonnaise.
He's got his hand in the cookie jar, but it's a mayonnaise jar.
And Chris Rock's specific role at the supermarket is mayonnaise security.
Fuck, all right.
So this is not a good look for Chris Rock professionally. It's
like a cousin spin-off film to Mall Cop.
So Chris Rock sees what Steve Buscemi is doing to the mayonnaise.
Mayo Guard, that's what it would be called.
Mayo Guard. And he takes on Steve Buscemi.
They fight.
Yeah, they fight. They get he tackles him. He sees him and he goes, "Now let's get busy!" And he charges down the mayonnaise aisle at Steve Buscemi and tackles him into a large Best Foods mayonnaise display. Thank you very much, Best Foods. When you think of mayonnaise, you probably think of Best Foods. The mayonnaise jars have not been closed. The lids haven't been put on them properly, so they all go flying off, and they are coated. These two are literally head to toe dripping in mayonnaise.
Oh, my God.
They have this phenomenal wrestle, and just when it looks like Steve Buscemi, after about 5 minutes of intense, sweaty, heavy, slightly erotic, actually, mayonnaise wrestling in the supermarket.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi is sitting on top of Chris Rock with his legs either side.
Yeah.
And he says... "Now that is a touchdown." And as he puts his arms up to say, "Now that is a touchdown,"
yeah.
this huge novelty sized Best Foods mayonnaise jar, which was like a sort of a precarious position as a display behind them, which has been in the background of shot, but they just haven't touched it, tilts and falls down very specifically on his body, and his arms are in the air doing the touchdown position. Oh. It crushes his body onto Chris Rock's. Chris Rock is fine.
Yeah.
But Steve Buscemi's arms become broken in that position, and he only has 40% feeling in his body as well.
Wow. Wow. I felt like I was there, guy. Some really good picture painting with my mind.
Good, eh? Well, that was the Steve Buscemi mystery tour for this week.
And what a tour it was. What's our other feature? I've forgotten. But
Hold on, what's that? Is it a knock at the door?
Who's that? Who's that? Looks like a cool dude. Who's that? Who's that at the door?
It's Patty.
It's who?
It's Patty.
It's who?
It's. Patty Schwartz, party time! It's Patty Schwartz, party time! It's Patty Schwartz. He's running around your house on a Jaguar with an ocelot in his hand. Patty Schwartz, ocelots everywhere, ocelots in my pants, Patty Schwartz, get this ocelot out my trousers.
Ocelot solo. Patrick Schwarzenegger is in the film. He is in Grown Ups 2. He is covering the lucrative used to be a governor's son market. And every week we like to explore the fascinating life and times of Patty Schwartz. In a segment called Patty Schwartz Party Time. Sometimes we talk about things he's doing in the movie. That's how the sort of part of the podcast began. But things have been getting a little bit meta the last few weeks, and we've been delving into Patty Schwartz's real life.
News has
dating Miley Cyrus.
News has leaked that Patty Schwartz
buying pizza locations
is actually a party animal. And of course, this segment is brought to you by Blaze Pizza.
Blaze
official,
Pizza!
Official sponsor of the podcast, Blaze Pizza. I say official, they haven't fronted us any money, but...
Hey, dudes, do us a favor. Do us a real solid. Take a photo of your stuff if you can, or actually just Photoshop one of you with a Blaze pizza box or a slice, something with their logo in it, and tweet them and us as well. So what we'll do is like advertising, but in reverse. So we'll ask them for money when heaps of people just start.
After the fact.
Heaps of people just start tweeting them.
It's a unique model, but I think it might work. I think this one's got legs, Tim.
It's like the worst... I was going to say it's the worst idea. That's the name of this podcast. It's the worst idea for advertising ever.
Well, I mean, it would only be appropriate if it was spawned from the worst idea.
If you were a company
time.
And some douchebags on the internet just started tweeting randomly, and then some other different douchebags went, can you give us some money now? Like, that's not how it fucking works, hey?
No, I don't.
What are those douchebags, you guys?
I don't think that works.
You and I.
But, Lord, I mean, I don't think it's inconceivable we could get them on board as a sponsor.
Anything's
they
possible.
Favorited a tweet someone sent.
Oh, they favorited a tweet. We're in now, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it starts.
Patty Schwartz, party time. What was your favorite bit of Patty Schwartz in or out of the movie this week, Guy Montgomery?
Patty Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger.
I love that.
It's real good. Patrick Schwarzenegger. He should do like a really hammy stand-up comedy character called Patrick Schwarzenegger. And he goes on stage pretending to be the Terminator.
That'd be so weird.
But he does like a deliberately really bad impression of his father.
Fuck, that's odd.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, there's water everywhere. I've knocked over the water. It's all over your Birkenstocks.
That's okay. I'm worried about these electric
cables. Oh, yeah,
cables.
That's not a thing you want with... Pad, I'll get a towel.
Leave it.
No, I must. It's water on the floor. It's got to be mopped up.
We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, I know. It'll only take a sec.
We're in the middle of a conversation.
Okay, fine. The water stays. Tell me what you're.
It's a wooden floor.
Patty Schwartz party time. The
water's not
just
going anywhere.
I smashed my head on this couch.
You're a hot mess, Tim Bat.
I sure am.
And I love you for it.
Now, Patty Schwartz.
Patrick Schwarzenegger. was really good in the movie today. A lot like Paul Hudson. I feel like he really brought the noise. And just the whole performance, I don't think we've mentioned it before, but front to back, top to bottom, Patrick Schwarzenegger is a pure scene stealer. He comes into this movie essentially an unknown entity as an actor, and he just steals scenes left, right, and center.
He leaves a silver screen legend.
He leaves nothing in the tank at the end of a day on set.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We should have, yeah, I mean, because a lot of people are online at the moment, on the interwebs, are talking about how much of a party animal Patty Schwartz is, and I guess
Patty Schwarzenegger.
Wait, what did I say?
That's his name now. Patty Schwarzenegger.
Fuck, I don't know about that, man.
Patty Schwarzenegger. Hi, my name is Patty Schwarzenegger. I will be back. I'm already back. My dad, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're on Borat on it. Pull up.
I can't.
Pull up.
But that's the idea. I'm pitching this to him, if you're listening.
Patty. Patty. Patty, are you there?
Patty Schwarzenegger is such a funny name.
Patty Schwarzenegger. Okay, so Chris Rock is doing a lot of interviews at the moment.
Chris Rock is burning up right now. Fuck, I love Chris Rock.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I listened to one yesterday of him on Bullseye.
What's Bullseye?
Hey, this is Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. Is that his name? It's a podcast. It's like a culture podcast. Yeah. But it's kind of... It's okay. But Chris Rock seemed a little cold on that one. But then there was an amazing interview with John Cleese, which was lots longer and very interesting. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, wait, you were talking about...
Oh, he did it. Someone
tweeted, sent it.
He did an interview on Fallon as part of his media blitz for Top 5. If anyone's seen it, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I hear it's really good.
Top 5, the movie, the new Chris Rock movie that he made himself.
It's not out here.
That he wrote on the set.
Yeah, he did. There was a good anecdote in it, and someone pointed this out to us. Jimmy's asking about the sort of initial writing phases of Top 5, and Chris is saying he was on the set of Grown Ups 2. And he had a lot of downtime, and it was like it wasn't his movie, and he doesn't explicitly say anything. This is getting real conspiracy theory vibes now, but he doesn't say anything, but he sort of alludes to the fact that he wasn't like I don't think he was enjoying himself as a performer or an artist on this particular project, as the body language and the sort of the implication of what's being said. And from that, Top 5 was born. But it's like, yeah, and that's the whole story. It's not really a very good story, is it?
No, it is.
I mean, it's okay when he tells it.
And here's why. Because Chris Rock is actually quite a... He's a dude who wants to do things well. So it's interesting that he's in Grown Ups too. Because when he was on this interview that I listened to yesterday, he's directed 2 movies. Let's Go to Prison, I think?
No, I Think I Love My Wife.
I Think I Love My Wife is one. And something like...
Head of State? Did he direct that?
Oh. Maybe you're right.
I don't think he's done a movie with the word prison in the title.
I think it is, though. Let's Go to Jail. Let's Go to... Anywho's. But he was talking about how he doesn't fully, like... They could have been better. Because he, as a director, didn't have, like, the chops.
Yeah.
At that point. And he was very nice. He says that everyone gave great performances and stuff. But, man, I hope I'm talking about Chris Rock. This might be a different interview for a completely different person I'm thinking of.
It's entirely possible. You have a brain like a sieve.
Yeah, it's insane. What is even going on today, eh? Fucking hell. I feel like I've really lost my grip.
Yeah? I feel like you are losing your grip too. It's quite good. Like, it's a pretty unique day. Like, essentially, I'm going to hyperbolize your night just for the sake of it. But let's say you drank a liter of gin, woke up, and watched Grown Ups 2 for the 42nd time. Let's just say someone is watching that without any context.
Yeah.
That is a man who has lost grip.
It sounds bad.
Inarguably.
On paper.
If you run the sequences of the last sort of 12 hours together, you're a shambles.
You're right, mate. Oh, I'm Guy Montgomery. I participate in stand-up comedy nights on a Thursday, and then I get up and go to brunch with my cousin, and I'm out of bed before 10. I'm sorry we're not all captains of industry, mate. You know, some of us just want to get some fucking sleep because we had out-of-the-blue gin bender from the night prior. You know, just let us sleep. On behalf of slackers everywhere, just leave us the fuck alone.
This isn't
I'm
not attacking.
You're the man.
I'm not attacking your lifestyle.
You are.
I'm just. I'm trying to highlight to you this last 12 hours.
I feel like I have drunk a liter of gin though, which is too much.
You're quite aggressive then. Still some gin rattling around your bones. To be sure.
People say that when you drink too much gin, you cry, like it makes you emotional, and I've never had that. I quite like gin, I like the taste of gin, and I like gin-based drinks. Hot tip about Tim Batt, his favourite cocktail is a Tom Collins. That's a gin-based cocktail.
What else is in it?
Simple syrup, lemon, soda water, ice. And simple syrup is just equal parts water and sugar. So it's quite an easy cocktail, but you got to really nail the parts. The quantities to get it good. Anywho's, in the shower today, after I'd almost thrown up once and then cleaned all the hair out of the drain and then almost thrown up again, I was really emotional in the shower. And I thought I felt on the verge of crying for the first time in quite a long time. It was weird.
Is that when I was on the way over?
Yeah, man. You kind of woke me up.
I definitely woke you up, yeah.
Reminding me that we had arranged to watch the movie this morning.
And also, I'd just like to say apologies again that we didn't get Tanya.
Oh, yeah. Where are you, Tans?
I don't think she's listening.
I don't think she is either, bro.
One day. Well, I'd say that's about it from us this week.
No. More.
What do you want?
I want to hear from you your 3 favourite... Zooms from Grown Ups 2.
My favourite Zoom, the one that springs into my mind immediately, is the crash Zoom on Kevin James at the pool party after Shaq breaks the diving board. Because it's got a
nice choice.
It's got a real, sort of grainy, authentic, sort of over the shoulder vibe to it. It doesn't feel like it was on sticks. It feels sort of like a Steadicam.
Yeah,
And it provides a real nice kind of change of tone. I feel. To the film, which otherwise it feels like a pretty staged party scene. So that's definitely my favourite Zoom.
What would you do? You have another 2? I'm really impressed at the speed at which you came up.
Obviously,
with that.
The second Zoom would probably be Braden Higgins on the Lilo.
Ah,
just a real nice slow moving summertime kind of Zoom. Real summertime vibes.
Really weird.
Do you know what song I listened to the other day?
What?
I love you always, forever, near and far, close and together. Fuck, it's so good, bro.
With you,
everything, everything I will say.
Oh, we both went high.
We've got to. Oh fuck! What's the legality around that? Can we just play a little snippet of that song now?
Well, we've been playing REO Speedway again.
Yeah. Okay. Here, we'll just play. We'll just play the chorus.
This song.
We're going to play the chorus.
Near and far and always, never.
So nice.
And everything. You got it.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it. Oh, that is a really good song.
And then my third favorite Zoom. I can't think of a third Zoom.
You've done so well, bro. Don't get down on yourself, because I threw that at you out of nowhere and you've done really well.
Thanks. We're such good friends.
We are now. A friendship forged in the fires of a bad
and
film.
And the fires of hell. The fiery bells of Lucifer's house. Hell.
You're describing Grown Ups 2 as a Hades-style situation.
No.
The underworld.
You know what? It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's just we've watched it too many times. You know what, guys? It is unfair. It's an unfair thing to do. The movie's ridiculous and very bad. But it's a really unfair thing to do, to just hammer it, you know?
I think the reason it's okay, though, is it is equally as unfair on ourselves.
Yeah, I guess so. It's martyrdom. But we're dragging someone else with us.
You can't call it martyrdom.
Yeah, it is. What we're doing is martyrdom. It totally is. It's almost the definition. It's self-flagellation to, pretend that we're cool. We're not cool. We're just fuckwits watching this movie over and over.
No, a martyr is you remember a martyr is a good person. A real martyr for the cause is
someone
who is noble.
But you can kind of use it almost to mean the opposite as
but
well.
But the correlation is noble. Like, it's positive.
No, I think the connotation is neat. It's you're being such a martyr. It's like people who go, I'll do the dishes. It's like, oh, you martyr.
I can see that. Yeah, there's two sides to every coin, every story. Two sides to every story. It's a lyric from Mathematics by Mos Def. It's one of my favorite Mos Def songs.
He's so talented, Mos Def.
I saw him recently at Western Springs. He really brought the heat. He performs under Yasin Bey now, but he pretty much played an hour-long medley of his greatest hits. He would have played seven songs from, I can't remember the name of the album now.
Just back to back to back to back.
Like a concert.
So
he came out here and just performed his music.
No, when you say medley.
Yeah. He was chopping. There was some chop-ups. He had
take that. Eminem did that when I saw him at Western Springs.
We're too far off the rails.
We got to leave. I feel so sick, bro. I'm probably going to vomit.
Thank you very much for listening. Like us on Facebook if you haven't already. That was episode 42 of The Worst Idea of All Time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.